God's word for our meditation today, recorded in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, previously read. In the name of Jesus, who is true God and true man, dear fellow redeemed, tell me, if I were to ask you, are you a humble person? What would you say? If you said, well, yeah, I think I am. I mean, I know I'm more humble than a lot of people. In fact, I think I'm more humble than anybody I know. I mean, when it comes to humility, I mean, I'm like the best. There's nobody as humble as I am. I'd say, I'm not so sure you know what humility is. You can't really boast about being humble. You can't be proud of your humility, or you really aren't humble. Even though being humble is not something we should boast about, it is something we should strive for. It's something that God is pleased with. It's something that God requires of us. What does Scripture say? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Or the words of St. Peter. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Or the words of Jesus, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Or even the words of our text for today, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Obviously, God values humility. God wants us to be humble. But it's one thing for God to say, be humble, and it's another thing for him to actually show us what humility looks like. Fortunately, God does just that in his word. When he points us to Jesus as the perfect example of someone who truly humbled himself. Today, as we begin the season of Advent, our attention turns to the coming of the Christ child, the one who was promised of old, the one who was King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who had all the glory of God, and yet the one who set it aside, who took on a human nature and was laid in a manger, allowed himself to be mocked and scourged and nailed to a cross, all in humble service to you and me. Our theme for today is simply this: when the Lord comes near, he humbles himself. Today, what we want to do is take a look at Jesus' life and see how it provides for us the perfect model and perfect motivation for us to do the same, to show that same selfless, humble mindset that Jesus showed in his life. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking about when he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The Greek word here is phroneo. It means to have an opinion about something, to think in a certain way. The old NIV said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. The point is, true humility always starts here. It starts with how we think about ourselves, especially in comparison and in relationship to other people. Paul put it this way to the Romans, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Isn't that right? True humility starts with thinking right about ourselves, knowing who we really are, especially when compared to others and compared to God. It's about thinking correctly. Well, here in our text, we have a perfect example of that, the model of Jesus' mindset. And Paul here goes on to describe who Jesus really is. He puts it this way: have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. In other words, Jesus Christ has always been and always will be God. In his divine nature, he is 100% God. The Colossians, or Paul's letter to the Colossians, puts it this way: in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And that means Jesus, because he is true God, has all the power, all the glory, all the authority of God himself. He even has the authority, Scripture says, to bring about all of creation. Attributed to Jesus. Scripture says, for in him, in Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And yet, even though Jesus Christ had all the glory of God, what was his attitude? Paul tells us, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Some translations put, it was not something that he had to grasp, he had to show off, right? It's like he didn't have to flaunt the fact that he was God. He didn't use his own divinity for his own advantage, right? I mean, when Jesus is out in the desert for 40 days with nothing to eat, did Jesus ever say, you know what would really taste good right now is a cheeseburger? Oh. Never did it. When Jesus is out there in the boat and the storms, the waves are crashing, does he say to his disciples, why don't you guys stay here? I'm going to like beam myself over to the other side because there's a warm bed waiting for me. Never did it. Jesus never used his divinity for his own advantage. Instead, what does he do? Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. With those words, Paul is describing two very unique things about Jesus, things that we refer to as first his incarnation and then his humiliation. Let's think about those two terms a minute. First, his incarnation. That is referred to when Paul uses the words being made in human likeness. In other words, even though Jesus was God from eternity, at the moment of his conception in the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit, he took on a second nature. And from that moment on, he was both God and man. And as a human being, he took on, this is what incarnation means, to take on flesh. And as a human being, he then had all the attributes of any other human being, right? He ate, he drank, he slept, he cried, he died. The only thing he never did was sin. Scripture says, Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Through Jesus' incarnation, the divine nature was connected to the human nature so that he became the God-man. Now, in addition to that miracle that really none of us can fully comprehend, 100% God, 100% man, can't quite follow that, can't understand that, Paul also goes on to talk about something we call Jesus' humiliation. Now, don't misunderstand that. This is not that Jesus, you know, did something really embarrassing and was just humiliated by it. No, literally, the humiliation is Jesus humbling himself. Sometimes theologians, instead of using the word humiliation, use the word exsynanation, a big theological term that simply means he emptied himself. In other words, it's that time of his life when he set aside the full use of his power and glory. Even though he had it the whole time, he didn't always use it. He kind of hid it, right? He covered up his true identity as God. Kind of like Clark Kent did, covering up the fact that he's Superman, right? Every once in a while, Jesus would let people see the S, right? Performing a miracle, healing somebody, raising from the dead, letting his face and his garment shine like the sun. But for most of the time, he covered it up. He looked like any other ordinary human being. That's what we mean by Jesus' state of humiliation. Now, even though both of those things actually both began at the same time with his conception, they really aren't the same thing. Just because Jesus took on a human nature doesn't mean he humbled himself. Think about it. Jesus Christ still has a human nature right now. As he's sitting at the throne of God, he's no longer in a state of humiliation. He's in a state of exaltation, and yet he's still true man. No, his humiliation was only that period of time from his conception through his burial. And that's the period of time that Paul is talking about here in our text when he says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." With those words, Paul is describing Jesus' life, how he humbled himself, how he became obedient even to the point of death. Even though he was God the whole time. I mean, think about that a minute. God Almighty, Lord of the universe, inserts himself into a microscopic embryo and spends 9 months in the womb of a virgin mother. God Almighty! Jesus Christ covered up his righteousness, his glory. Jesus, the God who had every right to tell Mary and Joseph what to do, didn't. Flip the tables on them. Put himself under their authority. No matter how menial the command, Jesus obeyed it. When Joseph said to Jesus, time to clean out the trash, Jesus, the Son of God, took out the trash. He put himself under the authority of his parents. He put himself under the authority of the Mosaic law. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He put himself under the authority of the Roman government. He allowed himself to be transported to Bethlehem just so he could be counted in the census. Jesus, even though he's God, even though he's the king of the universe, rode into Jerusalem, not, as we heard, on a golden chariot, but on a baby donkey. Jesus, even though he's the master of the banquet, puts a towel around his waist, becomes a slave, and washes his disciples' feet. Even though he never did anything wrong, he was holy, he was blameless, he still allowed himself to be put on trial in a kangaroo court and then suffer and die and be scourged and mocked and nailed to the cross like a common criminal. And mind you, Jesus allowed all those things to happen to him, even though he was God. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he become a servant? Why would he humble himself? Why? For you and me. He did it because he loves us. What does Scripture say? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know his undeserved love. That though he was rich, right, had all the glories of heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor. He took on a human flesh. He was born and laid in a manger. He lived a humble life. He carried our sins to the cross. For what? So that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus, in effect, traded places with us, right? He took our place on a cross, and he gave us his place in heaven. Because he humbled himself, we will one day be glorified. My friend, tell me that fact does not have an impact on our lives. And how we live our lives and the attitude that we display. I mean, if Jesus, the Son of God, set aside his glory just so he could better serve us, what better reason do we have to do the very same thing? Jesus, perfect life, that innocent death, that willingness to suffer, to humble himself, becomes our model and our motivation to do exactly what Paul says to do. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each one of you to the interests of others. What that looks like in your life, how that impacts how you treat people at home or at work, how it helps you decide what you're going to volunteer to do, who you'll serve, and with what attitude you'll serve. Well, in a sense, that's for you to now decide in the coming week. How will this fact impact your attitude? As you think about that, remember who you are. And remember what Jesus has done for you. God bless your humble, selfless service in response to the humble, selfless service that Jesus offered you first. In his name. Amen. Please stand.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.